I know we don't use this term in life much, but we do in the church some. This word we call epiphany. Have you ever had an epiphany? Or I might use the term, have you ever had that aha moment in your life that has affected you in some very powerful kind of way? The word epiphany means manifestation. Just the definition, epiphany. And these two texts that we read this morning, there were multiple epiphanies there. We see them throughout Scripture. The shepherds had an epiphany. The Magi here had an epiphany. The Mount of Transfiguration was an epiphany for the disciples who were there with Jesus. The events surrounding the death on the cross, his resurrection and his ascension, these were all, in a sense, epiphanies. And they vary. I imagine if I was to ask you this morning, perhaps some of you have said you've had some very powerful moments in your life where you would really call them an epiphany. Epiphany in the context of having a special moment or an occasion or an event where you knew God was present and it really spoke to you in some very powerful kind of way. The most obvious maybe of the epiphanies here we celebrate, the one, the Magi seeing the Christ child. They were following a star. They didn't have news media that had told them ahead of time and showed them pictures on the TV that there was this babe that was born in Bethlehem and you need to go see him. They were following prophetic statements from the Old Testament, and they were following a star that was to lead them to this one where they would have this epiphany. And what happened when they had the epiphany? They saw the baby Jesus. These were, at the least, wise men. These were important people. Whether they were kings or not, we sometimes use that term kings, they were important people. And they came, and what did they do? They bowed down and worshiped the baby. They took those prophecies from the Old Testament, and they must have meant something to them, because this was one who was king, even as little baby was king of the Jews. And they acknowledged that when they came with their gold, their frankincense, and their myrrh. The epiphany in the Old Testament was, as Bill had shared, Jacob was, he didn't shine all the time in his life. He was a little bit of a conniver and kind of bending the rules and did things he shouldn't have done and got his brother mad. And he wanted to reconcile, and this was going to be an opportunity for reconciliation, but he was trying to, as was said this morning, he was trying to line it up in such a way that it would lighten his brother's anger against him, come with a bunch of gifts and really try to lighten it if he could. But in this little segue, as Bill had called it, he has this occasion where he meets with this man who is at the least an angel, and because of the statement made that he had met God face to face, some theologians have even said this could have been a manifestation of the pre-incarnate Christ that he saw. Whatever the case is, it was an epiphany. Epiphanies change people. If you've had an epiphany, if you really had an epiphany, it changes you. It changed Jacob. It changed the Magi. It changed the shepherds. If you've had a real epiphany, you can't help be changed by the epiphany. Jacob's name was changed, as was said by the one who was there with him, to Israel. And he became the father of the 12 tribes. Think about the Roman soldiers at the cross, or the Roman soldier at the cross who looked and said, you know, surely this one didn't deserve to die. He had an epiphany. The thief on the cross who looked at the one next to him and realized he shouldn't be here. And as he had that short conversation with Jesus, he said, I want to be where you're at. And he said, today you'll be with me in paradise. The women at the tomb who came to take care of a body that was stinky, a dead body. And they come to the tomb, and the tomb's empty. And they see Jesus, the risen Lord. Or the disciples in the room with the door closed, and Jesus comes into the room. They had an epiphany. Or the one who wasn't there, and they talked about him later, Thomas, he comes to Thomas later and he says, look at my hands and my side, put your hands there. Thomas had an epiphany. He had seen Jesus. Without an epiphany, if I could put it in that definition term again, without a manifestation of him in some way, how can we know God? In John 1:1 and John 14, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. In verse 14, he says, that one was who? Jesus. He dwelt a while amongst us. Now, we weren't there. I wasn't there. I know I'm getting older, but it's way before my time and way before any of your time. We didn't actually get to see Jesus when he was wandering around on the earth for those 30-some years, and then he died and he rose again. But many did. But he gave something to us. In the Gospel of John in chapter 14, he gave us the Holy Spirit to reveal God and his teachings to us. That's our epiphany. God gave us his Holy Spirit to reveal to us that the Word of God is true, that Jesus really was and is and always will be, that this isn't just some fabricated story, but the Holy Spirit confirms in our hearts that God's Word is true, the whole thing, not just pieces of it. God's Word, this whole Bible, is true, and we can have that epiphany. That yes, God has manifest himself to me and to us and told us that indeed my word is true and I can live in your heart through the Holy Spirit of God by putting my faith and trust in Jesus Christ. It says in that same Gospel of John, the same chapter, a few verses earlier, it says that the world does not accept him because it neither sees or knows him. But we know him. And to some degree, we see him and what he does in our lives and the lives of others. So I want to ask you a question this morning about what does an epiphany look like? I haven't had an epiphany like Jacob. I don't think anyone here has had an epiphany quite like Jacob. I haven't had to follow a star for perhaps months because they were from a long ways away when they had started this journey, perhaps as many as 500 miles away when the wise men were journeying to be to where this king was supposed to be. And then they saw him. Or the shepherds that were freaking out when they were just taking care of the sheep and this legion of angels come and says, guess what? Something's going on in Bethlehem, and you want to see it. They perhaps were aware of some of the Old Testament prophecies about a king that would come. But the angel said, go, see a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. He's the king. So they went. They had their epiphany. What does an epiphany look like to us? I'm going to throw out some suggestions here for us. I want you to see that God indeed does work in your life, that God indeed does manifest in your life, in my life, and that indeed we can have and have perhaps many times in our life epiphanies. that confirm for us Jesus is real, that my faith is real, that what we believe is real. So let me share some of these with you. What does an epiphany look like? Well, it's that certainty that I know he exists. That certainty that I know he exists. It's that Holy Spirit-induced sense that the Bible is true. Now, you know, whatever you and I believe in life, we believe by faith. If I told you that George Washington was the first president, I think everybody here would agree, right? You never saw him. It takes faith to believe that George Washington was the first president of the United States. Just like it takes faith to believe that the stories that we read about Jesus Christ are true, it does take faith. But these stories were confirmed by many different people, and four Gospels share about the same story. And throughout Scripture, we realize that these disciples who followed Jesus, perhaps all but maybe one of them, died martyrs' deaths. Would you die for something that you think, it might be true, maybe not? Would you die for that? No. They believed it. And there were martyrs because of it, because it was true. What does an epiphany look like? It's the fact that you know Jesus is God's Son and he died for you. Scripture says it. I believe it. It's that still small voice that says, you're not alone. I believe even those who have not yet come to know Christ as their Lord and Savior, that God oftentimes reaches down and touches them in such a way that they realize they're not alone. There's something else out there. What are people looking for? They're looking for something beyond themselves. They know there's something beyond themselves. Even if they can't identify what that something is, I can identify it. It's right here in God's Word. And I believe it with all my heart. It's that sense that I can indeed have peace while chaos is all around me. You and I don't have any reason to fear. Even when there's chaos going on all around us. Philippians talks about that peace that passes all understanding. It's not, John's gospel says it's not the peace the world gives. This is a different kind of peace. And I can have peace even when there's chaos going all around me. The world doesn't understand that. Because the peace that they're zeroed in on is perhaps a lack of war. But the peace that you and I can have is a peace inside that says, no matter what, it may be storming all around us. Remember Jesus in the boat and the disciples? They didn't understand that peace yet. Jesus certainly did. The storm is going on and they're freaking out and Jesus is asleep. And they said, get up, get up, get up. There's a storm. Jesus was showing them that even when there's chaos all around, we can have peace. That's an epiphany. It's that in-love feeling that you couldn't love anyone any more than that. And folks, even though I love my wife dearly, I love Jesus even more. And she loves Jesus more than she loves me. It's not a competition. That's an epiphany. How can anyone love me that much? That Jesus would die for me. An epiphany is that natural response when life gets you down to look up and say, help me, Jesus. It's an epiphany. I hope and pray that it's your default drive. It should be if you're a believer in Jesus Christ. In fact, as I've said before many times, I think there are a lot of atheists out there that don't speak the part when they're in trouble. When the plane's going down, they holler out to God. An epiphany is that assurance that my loved ones who know Jesus are going to be okay. How many funerals I've experienced over my 30-some years of ministry. And for those who know their loved one knew Jesus, the peace that it brings. To know that even though I'm not okay, because I'm left behind and have to deal with the grief and the loss and all that sort of thing, they're absolutely okay. But I can be okay too, because I know the same Lord that they do. So it is going to be okay. That's an epiphany. It's that sense that when I come to church with other broken and messed up people, that God is here. Oops, are you in the wrong church? Because you're not messed up and broken? Yeah, you're in the wrong church then. Because God is about dealing with those who are broken and contrite. This is a broken and contrite heart, oh God, you will not despise. The epiphany is that God cares about us and he takes care of us and he takes our brokenness and he makes something new out of our brokenness. That's an epiphany. I got five more and then I'm going to let you go. It's that energy I receive from God to leave this place and want to love others like he loves me. You know that text in the Bible that says, it's easy to love those who love you, but how about loving your enemies? That when I leave and I understand and I really sense the love of God, it can give me the ability to even love those that are not very lovable. It's an epiphany. It's that emotional spillover that occurs when I sing an old hymn or a contemporary Christian song. I get emotional sometimes when I sing these songs, and it's not because I'm sad, it's because I'm overwhelmed with the presence of God. You know, God's words put in music can reach parts of the heart that just words alone don't really reach. But that's an epiphany, realizing how much he really, really, really loves me. When you sing a song like I Can Only Imagine, what is it going to be like when I stand before him or I bow before him? Can I say a word? Am I going to dance? See, those of us that have big mouths probably will be speechless in heaven when we see him. And those of you who can't say a word right now because you hardly ever say a word are going to just be gabbing away. It's that joy you feel when you're with others who love Jesus too. That's what I experience when I come to worship on Sunday morning. That I'm with others who love Jesus too. We're all flawed. We may not agree on everything. But we're with people who love Jesus too. That's an epiphany. It's that guilt you feel when you come into his holiness and need to repent. That's an epiphany. And when we repent, that guilt goes away. It's that freeing feeling when God tells you he forgives you. And you recognize that. The problem you and I have sometimes is that we don't forgive ourselves. But God forgives you. Because that's who he is. So the Magi had an epiphany. They came and they saw that this one who was there, perhaps not in the manger, but wherever he was in Bethlehem, they came, they bowed down, and they worshiped. All these things I shared with you this morning that are epiphanies should cause you and me to bow down and worship. For without Jesus, I am lost. Without God, there's nothing really to live for. But knowing Jesus as my Lord and Savior, knowing God as my Heavenly Father, my Daddy, and knowing that the Holy Spirit lives within my life, my heart, I could live my life knowing that He is worthy of my worship. And so I bow down and worship, and I sing praises to the King of Kings, like they did, like I hope you do as well. So I think when I shared this morning, and I close right now, all these things and many others that would be epiphanies, I believe perhaps you have experienced some epiphanies in your life. God's reaching out to say, I'm real, and I'm there for you, and I'll never leave you, and I'll never forsake you. Just trust in the one I sent, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen.